You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Whether you like it or not.
Today, we're going to be talking about the seventh and final serial of the 21st season of Doctor Who, and the first serial of the sixth Doctor, The Twin Dilemma, which consists of four episodes that aired from March 22nd, 1984 to March 30th, 1984.
True facts!
And I want to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can check him out at matthewgolden.net. I also want to give a special shout out to our newest Patreon patron, Nicole Mazza!
Hey, thanks, Nicole!
Y'all know Nicole.
Yeah, Nicole is a frequent guest.
Yeah. Nicole has a podcast, a Doctor Who podcast as well, called Terminus, a Doctor Who podcast, which you can check out at terminus.libsyn.com. Nicole's been on a bunch of previous episodes, so go check those out. But also check out this episode that we're about to talk about, right?
Yeah, just keep doing this.
Doing what?
Listening.
Listening, yeah. Don't stop. Don't stop.
Or we'll die. No.
That's the reference literally no one will get except maybe Chris. I don't think that's a very popular band.
Oh, why
it
not?
Should
maybe
be.
You should stop listening to this podcast and go listen to Don't Stop or We'll Die. You'll like it.
It's a comedy band that also just makes good music. It's not just funny, it's good.
No, don't actually stop listening to this podcast though. We're gonna talk about Doctor Who.
Listen to the entirety of this episode, then listen to Terminus and the entirety of Terminus. And then listen to Don't Stop or We'll Die, their entire discography.
In that order.
Anything we need to talk about before we dive into this episode, or do we give a shit? Do we give a shit about our lives? I think it's so weird that like we're finishing up a season here, but really we're starting an era.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. I think it's bad. What a poor choice made by the people who made this show.
It's fine.
If it's like a teaser of what's to come next season, then look, they fucked up some shit.
The fact that this serial is a finale is the least of its fucking problems.
Yeah, but can you imagine? Okay, so this is the finale, introducing you to this new Doctor as like a way of like, you're going to want to come back next season for this guy.
But it basically ends being like, fuck you.
Yeah, and also he's a dick for half of it. I feel like they fucked up. If this had been the beginning of a season, I mean, it'd still be bad, but you could at least go, oh, well, let's
they're
see if
doing
they're,
something
they're doing
weird,
something
but
weird.
Let's, yeah.
But instead, you're like, well, that's a bad taste in my mouth.
This serial is weirdly antagonistic towards its audience. I mean, it's weirdly antagonistic in the storyline, but it's directly antagonistic towards the audience in a way that it's like, okay, why did you do that?
I will also say that this serial, in that same poll where the last serial, Caves of Androzani, was voted the best Doctor Who serial of all time, in that same poll, this serial was voted the worst episode, the worst serial of Doctor Who.
And we went in with that knowledge, but like when the first episode started, we were like, oh, why? Like, we're on a cool set with like interesting enough ideas. Like, these characters are fine. These like twins, their deal, what's their deal? We like started this episode like, oh, this is gonna be one of those things where like everybody warned us about something and we were like, actually it was fine.
I will say it's not the worst. There's other episodes that I would not want to watch more than this one.
I think there are, you can like tease out the parts that like keep that, ditch that, and there's a good serial in there somewhere. But I definitely understand the like hatred for it.
Me too. Should we dive into
it? Let's do it.
All right. Episode one of The Twin Dilemma, which I have called The Hermit of Titan 3 or The Crushing Boredom of Eternity.
Oh, I like the second one.
That's a line that Six says. So before we even get into the episode proper, we have a new intro.
A new face in space.
It's basically the same intro as the Fifth Doctor, except there's more sparkles.
I was gonna say, but shinier.
Way more sparkles. We get Colin Baker's face, and the slight difference, usually it's just one image of the Doctor, but this one, it's two that they sort of fade between, like do like a fake animation with it, like it's just him and then he smiles. So there's two photos instead of one. How do you feel about this shocking innovation?
This might surprise you, but I don't super have a feeling about that.
Did you notice it?
No.
But yeah, that's new. I have no real feelings or thoughts on it.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up then.
Well, it's important. It's new. It's shiny. We changed things up in the last episode. What? I think it's a metaphor for the thing itself, which is things are going to be new and amazing, but it's really just kind of like, okay. So, we start with Remus and Romulus playing some space backgammon, or as you called it, Pyramid Arcade.
Pyramid Arcade, yeah. All of which is great. I freaking love, I love any time that there are, like, alien board games, which is why I love Pyramid Arcade so much. Which, if you don't know, Pyramid Arcade is, it's a game set that was, like, designed, when the person designed it was like, what if there was, like, Martian chess? And so it's little pyramids and there's like a bunch of different games. I love this. Like I really like this opening scene.
One of the common complaints of this serial is that these twins were bad, that they're badly cast and that they were not great actors. And there was even the people making it were pushing for this set of women, their twins, to play it. And J&T was like, no, it has to be, they have to be male.
Why?
I don't know. But that being said, I think they're fine.
Yeah.
They do what they need to do. They don't have a great script and they're doing well enough with it.
Here's what irritates me about them. So like in this scene, they're creepy as shit, right? They're twins and they're creepy and they seem to have weird math powers that freaks out their dad and
Sylvester.
They're dicks.
They're real like rude about their mother.
And their dad's like, chill out about your mom. She's your mom. And they're like, no, fuck her. She's the worst.
Just because she's our mom doesn't mean we gotta like her. I think they say we don't have to respect her.
So, like, there's this whole scene setting them up as these, like, weird, rude, creepy math children. And they're never this way again.
No, not really. No.
Which is a bummer.
I think it's trying to do, like, a sort of thing of, like, they don't really lean into it. But, like, they could be dangerous. They could do this thing. Like, do terrible things without even really thinking about it just for the challenge. But yeah, they don't really lean into that very well.
But then like, yeah, later on, when they are actually in like dangerous situations, they're like,
we should stop this.
Yeah, they're totally reasonable people.
Yeah.
And so it's weird that we spend so much time establishing this and then don't do anything with it.
That seems to be a theme of this serial, is establishing people as dicks and then saying, actually, no, they're not always dicks. But like, it doesn't do it well.
Not in a way that, like, that's what it's about. In a way that's, like, they forgot.
I think that might have been the intention. They're just, it's just not written well enough. Because if there are elements there for that sort of narrative, and then they just constantly fuck it up. Anyway, we meet these twins, and then we move on to the Doctor. Okay, here's another, like, it's, like, it's just weirdly inconsistent. So, like, the Doctor's like, what do you think? I'm a new dude. And he's, you know, twirling around and, like, look at me, I'm great. And Perry is just incredibly rude.
Now, to be fair, this is kind of a terrifying thing. Perry's somebody who's just gotten onto the TARDIS. She knows very little about the Doctor.
She doesn't know about regeneration.
So it's scary.
Okay, but she's not reacting as if it's scary. She's, like, talking about, like, how ugly he is.
She does do that, yes.
She's like, you look terrible. And he's like, I think I look fine. And she's like, well, you don't have to live with it. I do. She literally says that. And she pulls a mirror out of his pocket so he can look at himself.
See? You look awful.
Look at you, you big clown. And you don't even have the coat yet. But he loves his new look. He's just admiring himself in the mirror. He says he has a firm mouth.
He does say that. I don't know what that means. And I don't want to know. I don't want it explained to me.
I can explain it. This is what the people want. We have to explain these concepts to people. We have to dive into the nitty gritty of what this cereal is. His mouth, it firm.
Excellent. I'm glad we've
just
sussed that
out. Just a real solid mouth.
Okay. I'm glad we explored that, and now we can move on to the thing that happens next.
Dry, too, I'd imagine.
No.
Like, if it's firm, it's got to be dry, right? Because if it's wet, it's too slippery. That's not firm.
I don't know.
The doctor has a dry ass mouth. That's what I'm saying. Ladies.
I don't know. He gets the coat. That's the next thing that happens.
Well, it's actually a little while off. But first, he's got to complain about the fifth doctor. He has a whole scene where he's like, he had a feckless charm and he was effete. Because she's like, oh, he was sweet. And he's like, sweet, sweet, effete, sweet. I got to say, I actually enjoy the sixth doctor. I'm enjoying him so far in this serial. Like, right. Up to this point, I'm enjoying him. And I'll enjoy him for a little bit more. You'll know the scene where I stop.
Because he's very hammy.
He's very hammy. He's very big and boisterous, and I like that. I mean, I liked Five a lot, but I did kind of miss that, like, energy that, like, Tom Baker had a little bit, you know?
Here's the thing. Six very much feels like an overcorrection of Five. Of, like, Five is a doctor who we had who wasn't the main character in a lot of his own serials. You know, was kind of more quiet, was kind of more passive, and it was like, oh, man, that didn't work. What if instead he was the most everything?
I kind of like it to a certain extent. The meanness is where I don't. And even, like, you could have some witty banter and stuff, and that's fine, but, like,
it doesn't
work.
Never plays as banter as the thing.
Yeah.
It plays as abuse.
So they go into the wardrobe area, and he has a bit of a freak out, and that's where he says the crushing boredom of attorney. He's, like, crawling into some, like, clothes hanging up and just having a...
He's clearly having a rough regeneration.
I'm skipping over the note that just says, the twins play Atari. Because they, like, sit down in front of, like, a computer screen, and there's little... They're working on computational stuff together. And it's just, like, a big digital readout. I do kind of want to talk about the room that they're in. It's all, like, lab stuff, but also very childlike.
Oh, I absolutely love the design of this, yes.
Yeah, like, the computer screens are on, like, big color-coded... They look like houses or something. And, like, one's green, one's red that matches their outfits and their chairs. There's a giant Rubik's Cube in the background. It's just, it's a nice set. I like it.
It looks very much like a child's playroom, but it's also very alien. Like, the games that they're playing is these weird pyramids and...
It's a Rubik's Cube, but bigger.
Clearly a lot of thought went into designing this set, which, again, I don't think we ever see again.
Like, we don't see much of it.
We don't spend any time here.
Once the twins leave it, we see one more scene with the dad, and then that's it. They don't even come back. But then in the wardrobe, the doctor tries on Two's fur coat. Then he puts on a Pertwee-esque coat. Doesn't like either of those. He's having some chat with Perry about stuff. I don't remember
any of this dialogue, yeah.
But he's, like, flexing in the mirror. I watched, like, the making of and stuff. He's wearing Peter Davison's outfit. It's the same one. And they had to, like, cut it up the middle of the back because he was too big to fit in it. But yeah, like, he's doing some flexes. And then he finds an outfit. We don't see it yet, but we know what it's going to look like.
We've seen it. We've seen the outfit.
So, back in the twins' room, an old man just appears in the middle of the room. And Tony and I are both like, okay, cool. Still enjoying this cereal. It's weird. They are impressed with his magical appearance. And he's like, oh, it's just an illusion or whatever. And they're like, we know. But it's still pretty good.
But it's a good illusion.
And he's like, I'm here to talk to your dad. And they're like, well, dad's not here. And he's like, well, tell him I came by. Nice to meet you. And he shakes their hand. He shakes both their hands and they both just stop. And then you see that he has put lifesavers on their wrists.
Gummy, of the gummy variety, specifically, yeah.
Green ones. I don't know what flavor that is.
I don't know if it's lime or apple. God, I really want... Have you ever had the sour ones?
Mm-hmm.
I really want those right now.
A coworker of mine...
When we're done with this podcast, can we go get sour candies?
Sure.
Yes.
Coworker of mine just bought off-brand cream savers for like $12. For 2 bags.
Okay.
Do you remember Cream Savers?
No.
Oh, they were so good. It was like strawberry and cream lifesavers. It was the... If you never had them, don't knock them because they're the best.
Cream stuff.
Well, I don't understand you sometimes. Anyway, what these little lifesavers do is it wipes their memory. So maybe that's why they don't, why they're not dicks. They forgot that they're dicks. And then all three of them teleport out of the room. So the doctor has put on his outfit. As a child named Joseph, I was given a gift by my aunt. She made me a coat of many colors because of the character from the Bible. It was a multi-patched, sort of striped, colorful coat.
Was it similar?
No, but I mean, it was multiple colors and it was probably kind of tacky. Had my name on it. But I love that thing. So I do kind of love this outfit.
That does not surprise me in the slightest.
I will say too much plaid. Okay. I would prefer it to be maybe more solid colors, but I don't mind it.
No, I like it a lot. I mean,
Colin Baker didn't care for it.
I see no reason why the doctor shouldn't be loud and obnoxious.
And this doctor is loud and obnoxious, so.
And they're definitely making a point, and he has a line later at the end of the serial, and it's, again, way too confrontational for my liking, but it's something interesting that they're doing, which is to say, this character is not human. This character is an alien. And so, like, the things that he thinks are, like, good and appropriate or, you know, are not the same things that you think are, because he's alien, which is something that, like, I mean, it depends on the era of Doctor Who. Sometimes we play with it more, sometimes we play with it less. I think it's interesting when we play with it more. And, you know, I'm a big fan of tacky outfits, so.
This is pretty tacky.
If you're a patron, you can see my ugly ass shirt that I have.
Oh, shoot, you do.
It's great.
I like that shirt.
I do too.
I should have made an Instagram post, but I didn't, so sorry. I can make one after the podcast, and then y'all can go check it out on Instagram. Follow us on Instagram!
We'll post a picture of my tacky shirt on our Instagram.
So, Colin Baker didn't like the outfit. He wanted it to be all black, kind of like what Nine has.
Okay.
But he was vetoed. But he did contribute, or at least I'm going off what he said in this little video on the bonus features. He did contribute the cat pin.
That I was love his the idea. Cat pin. First of all, he puts the cat pin on, like, so purposefully. And it's just like, okay.
And then gives it a little pet.
He does.
He's not the, like, Four had a duck pin, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
He had some sort of, like, bird.
A pin, for sure. I don't remember what it was.
I want to say duck. I could be wrong. Could be just that we've been watching a lot of DuckTales and Darkwing Duck.
Woo!
But he thinks this outfit is baller, and Perry is not impressed.
He's like, you look hideous.
She thinks it is yuck. Is what she says. She says, yuck. And the doctor's like, well, fine then. And just sort of storms out. Still enjoying this. See, that's fine. That's like decent witty banter.
It
like,
could be cute.
I think it is cute at this point still. She's being a little rude. It feels like Donna 10 in a way, you know? I could see the doctor
like
being like...
It's like friendly teasing.
Yeah. I could see the doctor like, what do you think? And Donna being like, oof. You know? So, I'm still fine with this.
I mean, that could be a conversation that we would have, like, shopping.
Then the next scene is Edgeworth. That's the name of the old guy. Edgeworth. Didn't say that. It's not his actual name. We'll learn it later. Edgeworth and the twins teleport onto a ship that's got some good old owl boys on it.
Oh my gosh. Here's one of the things about this serial. When I talk about, like, there's good stuff in this serial that I feel the need to, like, rescue. The design is one of those things. I like these good owl boys.
Yeah, they look cool as shit.
They're bad owl boys, actually, but they look cool as hell.
Well, one of them's not too bad. One of them's an absolute asshole, but one of them's not too bad.
That's true.
There's Noma and Drac. Don't know which is which.
They're morally ambiguous owl boys.
Because one of them's, like, actively antagonistic towards Edgeworth, and one of them is more loyal to Edgeworth. But we don't know where Edgeworth's loyalties lie. But we do get to meet his master. This guy, he calls this guy, and it's a red outline that appears over him of this guy. His name is Mastor. And he's like, congratulations on getting the twins. And he's like, I want you to move them to a safe house on Titan 3 before bringing them here. And he's like, all right, cool. And that's all we get to see of Mastor is this red outline at first. We'll see him later. So, back on the TARDIS, Perry has also changed outfits. Again, too much plaid.
Okay.
It's like a blue plaid top and a skirt.
Are you not a fan of plaid?
I'm not a fan of plaid. It makes me think of lumberjacks, and I don't know. It's like this macho manly thing to me, and I don't care for it.
That makes me uncomfortable as a bisexual that you don't like that.
I personally don't care for it. I don't know. Here's the thing. I associate it with a lot of rednecks who I've known in my life. Plaid and fucking camo. Sometimes together.
Weird to me that you put those in the same category.
I do. People who own guns. That's what I associate camo and plaid with. Anyway, she does like a little, "What do you think, doctor?" And he just goes, "Yuck."
Which again.
Great.
Cute, teasing, bantery. Except for, like, the way that Perry reacts.
And except for, well, she's a little bit like, ugh. But what happens next is the fucking worst. So the doctor says Perry and then starts quoting a poem about Perry. And he's like, "Do you know what Perry is and where does it come from?" I forget what he says. He quotes some poem. But he says that it means evil. Basically, it used to be good, but now it's evil. And it means, he's like, "That means you're evil." And then chokes her violently.
For a long time.
He slams her up against the TARDIS console, throws her to the ground, and is, like, kneeling on top of her. According to the wiki, I don't know if this is on purpose or not, but she flashes his reflection at him with the mirror. Like she does it on purpose.
I mean, she definitely does in the scene.
Why is she doing that on purpose? To make him see himself, what he's doing? Or...
I think so?
I mean, it works. He sees that he's a fucking monster and, like, gets off of her. And then, like, he, you know, goes and, like, ugh. I think this is awful. I don't think it's irredeemable.
Okay, here's my thing about it. I mean, I have a couple of thoughts. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts. And they're all over the place and a little contradictory. I think you can do a story where, like, the doctor's suffering from regeneration sickness and... maybe he's a little unhinged and maybe he's a little dangerous. That's interesting and I'd like to see it done.
But this story mishandles it. I would prefer them not to do it, but if they're gonna do it, there are things they should have done afterwards that they did not do.
Okay, so if you're going to do a story like that, the doctor needs to be legitimately, like, frightened and remorseful. His reaction to this is, like, still that very, like, bombastic, hammy, like, "Oh, no, I am the worst, I am a monster," which is specifically, like, an abuse tactic, an emotional abusive red flag. And so it doesn't work as comedy. Also, the other thing is, like, if you're going to do this story, I still, even if that's what you're going to do, I still don't really want to see the doctor doing actual violence to a companion for, like, multiple minutes of screen time. And then, like, try to, like, go back to, like, comedy beats. Like, you can't.
Like, you need, like, a legitimately, "I am sorry" scene. A scene where he does not ever fucking apologize. To be fair, while I was rewatching this, he does say, "I apologize" once. He says it very fast, and it's kind of dismissive. But he does say, "I legitimately apologize" once. But it's so fast, it's easy to miss. But it's still not enough.
No.
It is not... There's a couple other scenes where he seems like he's, like, basically saying he's sorry without saying he's sorry, but he never actually says that he's sorry.
He never seems genuinely upset with his behavior. And I understand that part of it is that, like, oh, he's got, like, he's out of his mind a little bit. But you have to have those flashes of, like, you know, lucidity to be like, "Oh, shit, this is a problem. What are we going to do?" Because, and this is what's so bonkers to me about this is a new doctor. You're establishing this brand new character, and you're just making them... We don't know that he's not shitty. We as an audience is like, is this who he's gonna be now? We legitimately don't know. And so you have to have something to bring that character back to, like, justify me caring about them.
I can see what they're wanting to do. I just think it's a bad idea. Like, they want it to be like, "Ooh, is he bad? Is he good? What's going on? This doctor seems more dangerous." But, like, he's mean. You could do that, but I feel like it's a weird idea to do it at the end of a season. Like, that's going to just turn people off, I feel like. I don't know.
And I think there's two things going on here. There's a lot of the, like, negative things about Six. That, I mean, as far as I can tell, having seen this one serial, the things that are, like, actually him and not this regeneration sickness, like, once we get into, like, this is what the character is like. The things that are negative about him are things that have been flaws of the doctor, like, all along. He's super vain. That's not new. You know, like, he thinks very highly of himself. He has maybe difficulty thinking of other people. These aren't brand new things. They're just sort of brought to the front. And I think that can be an interesting thing to do with your character. The other thing that's going on is they're doing this like regeneration sickness thing. And like, he is dangerous and unhinged. And we're not really sure what's up with that. Doing those two things at the same time.
It's too much.
Is awful. is a bad, weird choice that should not have been made.
Do you think this is just carryover from the Fifth Doctor?
How so?
Who straight up murdered a companion? I'm never going to get over that.
No.
He murdered Chameleon.
It is messed up.
And that was like thought out and he was in his right mind. Anyway, let's dive further into the story and see how bad this gets. Because this is the turning point. This is the point where I was like, oh no.
Really, up until this point, we were like, oh, this is going to be one of those things where like people, you know, warned us about how bad it is. And we're going to come out of it being like, I don't know what everybody was complaining about. Then this happens and we're like, oh, okay.
I do think there's still some good stuff coming up. If you can put aside, if you can just separate in your mind the fact that the Doctor has previously been a dick. If you can separate that a little bit, there's some decent moments. It's hard to, but I want to because I want to like this guy. And I think Colin Baker is actually doing a really good job. I think he's fun when he's allowed to be fun and not a dick.
Well, and here's the thing, because you're saying when he's being fun and not a dick. Because sometimes he's being a dick and being fun.
Yeah, that's true.
And that is...
When I say a dick, I mean like despicable.
Like legitimately abusive.
Yeah, where you're like, oh God, no! Being a dick but funny is one thing, but being like just abusive and awful is a whole other thing.
For some reason, it seems like this serial doesn't understand the difference.
We'll get into it a little later on, but there's a few moments where it feels like it's trying to address that, and you're just like, no, who the fuck wrote this? Which, by the way, I think it's like a new guy who's never written for the show before, ever.
That's wild that you would
give him the finale and the start of a new Doctor.
Absolutely wild.
Just bonkers. So let's continue with the plot. The twins' dad finds some zanium, remnants of teleportation, I guess. I just wanted to call that out because I like the word zanium.
Okie doke.
It sounds pretty funny.
Hated that.
So his kids are missing. He calls some space cops and they're going to launch a search.
I think the cops too are like, oh no, it's not those fucking kids, is it? Shit, that's scary.
They could destroy the universe. That's going to set up a character we will meet a little bit later on. Or maybe he's even in this scene. I don't know. So the next scene is Perry is legitimately traumatized and the Doctor downplays it.
Perry has every right to be traumatized.
She's like, you tried to kill me. He's like, no, I didn't. That's ridiculous. I have inbuilt resistance to violence. And she's like, no, the fuck you don't. Which is true. The Doctor is incredibly violent. Let's be honest. Not to his companions. But he does have the ability to be
so here's violent. This is the thing that I'm saying. Like, if this scene had happened and the Doctor had been like, yeah, I don't know what's going on with me, like, had seemed legitimately remorseful and frightened of himself, that would be one thing.
And he does kind of say that he is scared of himself, but then he's like, just goes way too big with it. He's like, I'm the biggest threat in the universe.
Which, again, that kind of performative, like, oh, I've done something wrong and, oh, I'm the worst. If you don't know this, big red flag for abuse.
He's like, I'm gonna become a hermit and you're gonna be my disciple and we're gonna go to Titan 3 where I can be alone for like 1,000 years, however long it takes. But yeah, it's just like it's way over the top. And it's like,
when he's also like, I'm going to be there for 1,000 years. And Perry's like, I don't want to be there for 1,000 years. And he's like, tough.
You're chosen. Yeah. And it's like trying to play some of this as comedy, but none of it's funny.
Well, and also like, it seems like Colin Baker is playing it for comedy and Perry's playing it like dramatically. And like that inherent like disconnect between the two of them just plays into how like unsettling and upsetting it is.
But to be fair, I don't know how the fuck you play this scene. It's not written well.
Yeah, I don't know as far as like what the intent was.
Like, how do you play it? Both of them playing it is funny? That feels wrong. Do you play both of them taking it seriously? That feels wrong. It's just wrong. It's just a bad scene. There's no saving this. Just chuck it. Just chuck it out. Just chuck it right out.
Try again.
I don't know how you get to the Titan 3 without this scene. But you'd have to do a rewrite. Like, I feel, I was like, part of me was like, there's got to be a way you could edit this to be better. But I don't know if you can, because, like, I mean, this, like, this scene right here is terrible, but is also plot important. Anyway, meanwhile, on the ship with the Owlboys, the twins are, like, put in a room, and one of them pulls off a panel and fiddles with stuff and sends out a distress signal that the police that are looking for the twins immediately find, and they find this freighter, and they're like, hey, what are you doing here, blah, 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 and the ship goes into warp drive and disappears, and they're like, oh, fuck, that's not great. Like, that freighter should not have a warp drive, so that's definitely probably...
sneaky.
Even if it's not the twins, it's something bad. They're, like, relaying this information to, like, the head cop woman. And she's like, what does this mean? And, like, their audio goes out. Like, something happens. They're like, we're gonna follow, and then it just, like, cuts out. And they're like, what happened? And then another woman turns around and is like, they were right! The freighter doesn't have warp drive!
She does this multiple times where she, like, gives information on a delay. She's like, what's that character on Steven Universe?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I forget her name, but I ain't talking about
it. Yeah, the Sapphire who has future vision that's broken. She is exactly like that.
Like, I don't know if it's supposed to be a joke. It's played straight, which makes it even more hilarious. Like... okay, that's...
thank you.
For this knowledge we already had. I
like,
know,
multiple
and it's
times,
not important.
The head cop, too, will be like, hey, you, look this up. And then, like, she will just confirm something that we already saw happen. And it's like, why did you even ask her? You already had that information. She's like, yep, I just Googled it, and it's definitely true. All right, thanks.
Space cops. So, the Doctor and Perry have landed on Titan 3, and this is when he's, like, he's still going overboard with the whole hermit thing. Says they're gonna have to find a cave, because he needs to suffer, and Perry's like, why do I need to suffer? And he's like, well, you have to administer to all of my needs. Which, again, is very fucked up and weird. And then they hear a loud...
and he's being very hammy and funny, and she's being like, oh my god, I'm gonna be...
murdered.
Yeah.
Somebody should have said, hey, this script is bad? Anyway, they hear a loud crash outside of the ship, and they are going to go check that out. Mester calls in to Edgeworth again and yells at him for being caught by the police. And then we finally get a good look at Mester. He's just a big old caterpillar. He's just a big old bug. He's like...
I mean, he's a slug, isn't he?
Slug, yeah. He sticks his hands up beside his face all the time when he's talking, and he's got two eye stalks. I think they're eyes? I don't know. But he also has... I think he has... big giant nostrils.
No, I think they're just both eyes.
He has four eyes?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's eyes on eye stalks and the two eyes where a human head would be or his nostrils. That's what
it
I was thinking.
It doesn't look to me like that's what they were trying to do. They both just look like eyes to me.
Well, yeah, and also sometimes they just frame up the bit with cutting off the eye stalk eyes, yeah. Which I don't think he would do if those were, like, supposed to be his primary eyes. That sounds like a good, like, band or something. Primary Eyes.
Hey, I'm a big fan of Primary Eyes.
Anyway, he just calls in and says he wants to get the twins up and running at full speed. Get them going. Get them working on a thing that we don't know what it is yet, but we'll find out soon. He also wants him to kill all of the survivors of the crash, because we find out, as the Doctor and Perry walk out, the police ship that was following the freighter has crashed onto Titan 3, because I guess they were following the Owlboys and Owlboys shot him down or something. I don't know. Doctor and Perry see the wrecked ship, and the Doctor's, you know, running around being all stuff. And he's like, Perry's like, I want to leave. This is bad. Let's leave. And he's like, you're right. This is for something for an adventurer, not a faint-hearted girl. Yeah. What is he? Adric now? And then he finds one of the policemen, whose name is Lang. He has a first name, but I'm not going to remember it. And then he just, like, starts just chewing into Perry, like, you're going to leave. And there's a guy here. He could have died. This is all your fault. His death would have been on your hands, huh? How do you feel about that, huh? But you feel like a dick, huh? Huh? Perry? It's like, calm down, man. And then, like, they take him into the ship, into the TARDIS. And, like, he's still just, like, railing on her. He says, poor pusillanimous, I don't know if that's how you pronounce that word.
I don't even know what it means.
Showing a lack of courage or determination. Timid.
Damn.
Poor pusillanimous Perry. What a pitiful performance. Which has the cadence of a joke, but is just fucking mean. Then she yells at him for being a dick. And she's like, I'm not going to take this from you. And they're just, like, yelling at each other. And it's not fun. It is uncomfortable. In the middle of this, Lang wakes up and thinks that the doctor is what crashed his ship and killed all of his men. And he points a gun at the doctor and he's like, I'm going to shoot you. And the doctor does a look.
He sure does make a face.
The camera's like aimed upwards from the floor up at the doctor. And he does this look of like, oh no.
It's like, be shocked and scared, but sexy still?
Also, like, maybe you smelled something weird at the last second. And that's the cliffhanger. Just a lot of whiplash, really.
It's weird that somebody looked at Doctor Who and was like, do you know what it needs? It needs to feel like an uncomfortable family dinner. It needs to feel like a family gathering where your parents are fighting.
It needs to feel like 50% sitcom, 50% Lifetime original movie. And that's the end of episode one. We're now into episode two, which I have called A Bumpy Transition. Lang passes out almost immediately and does not get a shot off. And then Perry is weirdly sympathetic towards him as the doctor freaks out about almost getting shot. He's like, this guy's a bad guy. And she's like, yeah, but he's just really confused. So she's been gaslit, right? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, she's like, you don't know what he's been through to, like, get to this point. You don't understand why he would think that we're bad guys. He must have been going through a lot. Which is, like, the writer trying to be like, this is the same thing that's happening with the doctor. Get it? Get it? But it doesn't work.
Is that what that scene is for?
That's 100% what that scene's for.
I just thought it was weird.
I mean, it is weird. Because, like, basically the doctor's had a freak out and choked her and is like, I'm going to kill you. And Perry's like, that's fucked up. But in this scene, like, a guy wakes up and is like, freaks out and he's like, I'm going to kill you. And then she's like, yeah, but something, like
he's clearly unwell.
Yeah, he's clearly unwell. And, like, I think it's the writer going, see, it's the same thing with the doctor. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, it's so poorly executed. It could not be any more poorly executed.
And it doesn't help that at the same time this is happening, the doctor is again just being a raging asshole. And then she's like, we've got to save him. And he's like, I'm not going to save him. He tried to shoot me. What the fuck? No. And then she finds his ID. She like digs around through his coat and she's like, he's a space cop though. And those can't be bad people. Ha! That's a loaded statement. And then the doctor's like, yeah, I guess you're right. Cops are pretty great. Wink. And agrees to help heal him. Look at him, see what's wrong. Because he is a doctor. But he only agrees to do it if she will hide the battery pack to his gun or whatever. You know, some space nonsense.
I like that they say hide it, too. Not like take it and like put it in your own pocket, but
or
hide
destroy
it.
Destroy it even?
No. Where hide is she hiding? She just like goes and she goes into the wardrobe and just puts it in the pocket of a coat.
Spoilers. Motherfucker picks that coat.
Like, and it's fabulous.
He puts that coat on. The coat she hid the... She's like, ew, this is ugly. And that's the first thing he picks up.
It is sparkly as shit.
And multiple colors. I don't know why he puts on a new coat.
I mean, his is all torn up. Like,
is he cold?
It's all torn up. His clothes are all torn up from the crash. So when he goes into the wardrobe, he's like, oh shit, new clothes. But he picks the, like, gaudiest, flashiest thing.
Right.
Like, out of his, like... uniform. I was like, drab blue uniform. Yeah. And he's just like, I'm gonna treat myself. I'm gonna be special today.
It looks a lot like this shirt you're wearing.
It does. Only louder.
Again, follow us on Instagram. The owls have gone to get rid of all of the survivors, and they say there are no survivors. They tell Edgeworth this. Okay, so they're at a base on Titan III, and Edgeworth's like, okay, cool, there's no survivors. Move on and check on our ship. Make sure everything's cool with our ship, and then we'll all meet up there and then leave. They have to go through some weird, like, ducts to, like, avoid radiation or some shit. I don't know. It's a thing. Meanwhile, the twins are using weird dry erase windows. They've just got, like, little clear plastic things that they're drawing their computations on. Which, by the way, are just, like, they look like space invaders. They're just, like little
Tetris
squares. Like, they have to do it longhand because they're no longer allowed near near electronics because they sent off that signal, distress signal. And then Edgeworth's like, anyway, go back to your work. And they, like, refuse to do any more. They, like, both stand up in unison and throw down their little markers and say, no, in unison. They do that a lot of, like, in unison stuff. Because they're twins, and that's what twins do.
That's just how twins work. Everyone knows that.
So they're like, we're not going to do any more unless you tell us what's going on. So he tells them about a place called Jacanda, where there is a new ruler, and he's a real bad guy. And Master calls in, appears, and says, I'll take over from here. Do it or die. I will remove your brains from your bodies if you don't do it. How about that, fuckos? Peace out! And then he disappears. And they're like, oh, okay. Guess we'll do some more math. Meanwhile, the doctor, Doctors Lang, he does some stuff.
He also brags about how easy it is.
I feel like this part from here on kind of works. It doesn't work in the context of the fact that he's completely disregarding any of Perry's feelings. And also, Perry's still kind of traumatized. But if you take it on its own, it's fine. It's kind of fun. Anyway, the doctor senses evil. We have to do something
here. The doctor, by the way, basically, like, divines the plot in this moment.
Yeah, because Lang, when he was, like, passed out on the floor, said, the children. And then the doctor figures out the entire fucking
plot. The doctor's like, he said the children. That must mean there are two twins who are great at math who are here. And they're doing something that's gonna fuck up the world. That's definitely what's going on. And it's like, shit, okay. I mean, you're right, but damn.
To be fair, it wasn't quite that specific.
He just said
smart children held for a king's ransom.
It was nearly that specific.
It was nearly that
specific. Why does he know that they're smart?
I don't know.
It's a lot.
Hey, he's right, isn't he? You'd be the kind of motherfucker who questions Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, I would. Because so much of that is nonsense.
So the doctor's like, we need to go out and investigate. And Perry's like, there's not anything out there. And, like, pulls up a view screen. And the doctor's like, okay, but what's that? That conspicuous bump thing. And she's
pyramid.
Like, it's a bump. He's like, a bump? It's not a bump. It's too symmetrical to be a bump. That's why this episode's called a bumpy transition. Anyway, he's like, it's got to be something man-made. Let's go check it out. And then she's like, what about radiation? And he's like, I don't give a shit about radiation. What's a little bit of radiation? We're having an adventure. And then she says, what's a little bit of radiation between friends? And he says, Braveheart, Tegan. Tegan zones out for a second. Yeah. Like, that shit's good. It's a little hard to emotionally invest in this scene, considering what happened earlier. But if none of that shit had happened, this scene would have been fine, you know? It would have been fun, even.
If Perry wasn't going through the whole thing justifiably traumatized, it'd be a fun scene.
Right. So they go to check out the bump, and Perry's like, what about Lang? And he's like, oh, he'll be fine. It's going to take him, an hour to, like, recuperate anyway. Let's go! So they leave him just sitting in a chair. They stroll out. The doctor quotes Longfellow. He's just very boisterously stomping around and shouting things. And Perry is very annoyed at it. And see, like, now this is the point where it's like, now I'm just like, I don't like Perry. Like, it's one thing to be legitimately traumatized. That's understandable. But now she's just, like, back to being the way she was at the beginning of this episode, where she's just like,
everything.
This sucks. Which is...
It's not fun to watch.
It's not fun to watch.
If, like, none of your characters are enjoying being in the story, like...
Some of them are enjoying it, but none of them at the same time. It's so frustrating. Then they find a possible entrance to the bump. It's not the entrance to the bump, but it's like a door that could maybe lead to the bump.
Again, it's another random door. And the doctor's like, I bet it leads there. And Perry's like, based on what? And the doctor's like, let's
smart,
go.
I know. I got a inbuilt doctor radar thing or something.
I just seen the script of this episode.
Did you? Why didn't you stop it? So they go in. Then there's a scene that I actually really like, which it's just the two twins hanging out. They're like resting in a room. And it's just the two of them being like really open and vulnerable, talking about how they're scared and they don't know what's going on. And like one of the other twins is like, well, we just have to do our best and hope that things will be all right. We just can't panic and stuff. I don't know. It's really sweet. I don't know why. I just really liked this scene. Thought it was nice.
I suspect it's because you're an only child.
I don't know. It's just nice to have a nice scene amidst all of this. And, like, neither one of them are being awful, so...
It's just nice to see two people be nice to each other.
So, the Doctor and Perry are going through, like, some sort of, like, ventilation system. And the Doctor is all gung-ho, let's do this. And Perry is not. She's very, like, we don't know what's going on and what to do, and da-da-da. And then, like, halfway through, they just swap... The Doctor's like, oh, maybe you're right. Well, this is just a reconnaissance mission. We don't need to just blow right in there. Let's leave. And she's like, but there might be children. We should go check because there could be children. We need to know if there are children. And the Doctor's like, no, we should leave. We should leave. And it's like, what the fuck just happened here?
Do you know what's weird? As dumb as it is, that exact same thing happens in Dirk Gently. The new one, when they're in the...
The maze?
Yeah. One of them's like, I don't think we should do this. And one of them's like, we should totally do this. And then, like, without warning, who's saying that swaps?
You can do that, but you need to have some sort of reasoning behind it.
Yeah, you gotta sell it, and they didn't.
Not sell it. It's just like, what is happening? Who wrote this? And then they are caught by the owls, who point some guns at them. And then the Doctor immediately ducks behind Perry, sticks his head through her armpit.
Again, could be cute.
Well, except for the fact that he's like, I didn't do anything. It was her. Take her, not me. That's not terribly cute.
But, like, this is what I'm saying. Colin Baker is definitely, like, hiding behind her and, like, peeking her head out is, like, definitely, like, playing comedy. He's definitely, like, hamming it up in a comedy way. And you're like... But it's weird. But it's not funny. Weird.
It's supposed to be funny, but it ain't. Then the next scene is very weird, and I forgot about it until I was making GIFs. Edgeworth has been getting more and more tired, partially because we'll later find out Mastor is fucking with his brain. Like, Mastor can, like, read people's thoughts and stuff. He can control people, whatever. He's been, like, struggling with that, and it's tiring him out. So he's like, I'm gonna go revitalize. And then he goes into this little alcove and then turns into a diagram. He looks up, and then he transitions and turns into, like, a 2D flat diagram of, like, a nervous system.
Oh, wait. That did fucking happen. What?
He's revitalizing, whatever that means. He's recharging.
I fucking forgot.
What the fuck is that? What's it supposed to... I mean, is it... I can see him, like, plugging into a thing or something. But he just transforms into it.
Also, is it important in any way?
Nope. Not in the slightest, which is why I forgot about it. Doesn't come back. Doesn't really do anything. Just a thing. There is a sort of funny joke where, again, but it's still kind of the Doctor and Perry bickering, and it's unpleasant. Well, they're being brought by the owls to Edgeworth, and she calls him Doc or something. And he says, kindly refrain from addressing me as Doc, Perpagilliam. Oh, which is a thing we didn't even mention. When he's like, Perry, what is that? She says, oh, it's a diminutive of my name, Perpagilliam.
She doesn't just say name, she says, it's a diminutive of my proper name, which is not how people speak.
And it's also not how people deliver lines.
All around, not at all how human beings communicate.
So this is kind of a callback to that scene, I guess. Also, the Doctor has said, don't call me Doc before, so. Which someone's pointing out, 13 is perfectly fine with Graham calling her Doc, so she's grown.
Yeah, or she's just stopped having preferences.
So they get brought in. Noma is the dick owl. He's not the loyal owl. That's Drac. Drac is the loyal owl. Noma's the dick owl, thinks they're spies, and the Doctor disagrees and says, no, we are pilgrims who have come to the caves of Titan III to meditate. And then Edgeworth comes out, and the Doctor's like, aw, shit, I know you. We hung out you're Asmael. You're a Time Lord. We hung out. You drunk so much. You got so wasted. We had to throw you into a fountain to sober you up.
That's not an exaggeration. That's what this scene is.
It's adorable. I like it.
It's very good.
Part of me is like, is this still the Doctor being like regeneration weirdness? But then Asmael's like, oh shit, you're the Doctor. Because he's like, yeah, I've changed faces a couple of times since last we met. But he's not thoroughly happy about it. And the Doctor's like, why aren't you happy about this? And he's like, times are shitty. Sorry, you've come at a bad time.
I'm gonna have to arrest you now.
And then the twins wander in. And they're like, what's going on? And the Doctor's like, ha ha, I was right.
I knew about the twins.
I nailed this shit.
They were the smart twins.
Then Lang wakes up, changes outfits, and finds the gun power pack. We've already discussed all that. But he's also trapped inside of the TARDIS. He does not know how to get out. And then the Doctor and Edgeworth chat, and Edgeworth is sort of filling him in on stuff that we know that he doesn't. While they're having a chat, Noma sneaks away and sets off a gigantic, conspicuous self-destruct button. Asmael and the owls and the twins teleport out, and they're like, we'll come back for you later, but we don't want you interfering with what we're doing, because that could be bad. And he's like, also, I've disrupted the teleporter, so you can't leave. You will be stuck here. He literally says there is a million combinations. And
there's
then,
just a quadrillion, okay?
And then they all teleport out. And then Perry's like, what are we going to do? And the Doctor's like, I'm going to start working on the teleporter. He said a million combinations, so
we'll be out of here a day or two tops.
So he jumps over a couch very cheerfully and goes to work. And then Perry finds the self-destruct button thing going off and like interrupts the Doctor, who's very annoyed about it. Like, all right, fine, I'll look at this blinking thing. And then he's like, oh shit, we have minutes to live. The owls and the twins and Edgeworth take off from their ship. The Doctor looks at the twins' equations that are on the dry erase thing, and that clues him in on something. He's like, oh, this could work. And he turns the teleporter into a time machine? Which is a clue to what's going to what they're working on.
Right.
Kind of. And he's like, all right, well, Perry, give me your watch, because I got to time shit out, right? I know when I need to go, but you need to go first. Jump in the teleporter. It's going to send you to the TARDIS, but like 10 seconds ago or something like that. And so he does a thing. She teleports away, and he's like, huh, it worked. It actually works.
Okay, here's the thing. It's not just that he says that. It's that she, I mean, Perry's being Perry. So like the whole time she's just like, I don't know. I don't want to go in the teleporter. Is it safe? Will I die? And he's like, you're going to be fine. And then she teleports away and he's like, oh, cool. It didn't kill her in a horrific way. Neat.
Things that have the cadence of jokes could potentially be good jokes, but without all
upsetting.
That context that makes it bad. But then the watch stops working, so he's like, oh, fuck, I'm just going to have to eyeball it. He jumps in the teleporter and pets his little cat pin for luck. And then before we don't see him disappear. It looks like he's about to. And then it cuts to inside the TARDIS. Perry appears in front of Lang, who's like, what the fuck's going on? And points a gun at her. And then she just does not give a shit about that. She just wanders around him and like messes with the console, pulls up the view screen.
She's had so many shitty things happen to her in this day that it stopped affecting her.
She pulls up the view screen and we see the bump and it fucking explodes. Perry turns to the camera crying, no, Doctor, no.
Can we discuss this?
Is not great acting?
It's some of the worst acting I've seen on the show so far.
Doctor! It's like that. It's bad.
Awful.
It's not realistic. It's unintentionally comedic. It's supposed to be the cliffhanger and I'm just like, that's cheesy as fuck. I don't know. I don't like Nicola Bryant. I feel bad. I've met her and she seems like a very nice lady.
Very nice. Very sweet.
This is bad. I don't know. I said bad things about Tegan and I love Tegan. I don't think that's going to happen. We'll see. I don't know how many more serials we have with her, but we'll see. At the end of episode 2, we're now into episode 3, which I have called Death by Embolism. We get to see Perry cry again. And then the Doctor flickers in for a second. This is a bit weird. He appears in the TARDIS, and he's like, oh, this watch thing, bullshit. And then he apparently has appeared in the future in the TARDIS, and he's by himself in the TARDIS. And then he presses some things on the console, and then appears back with a scene with Perry and Lang. But he's petting his cat pen when he appears with Perry and Lang. And I feel like they just threw in an extra scene for no reason.
Because the cat pin was supposed to match cuts.
Yeah.
That is weird.
It is weird. Like, I don't know why they have that little scene that's not needed. It's just, like, he explains what happened. Like, there's no reason for him to have appeared in the TARDIS in that weird scene. It just should have been the scene that it is. I don't know what happened there. It feels very odd. Perry's like, oh, I'm so glad you're not dead. And then this is the scene that's almost an apology. The Doctor is very confused as to why Perry would care if he died. after the way he has treated her. He's like, you know, I almost killed you, and...
Again, this isn't said, like, the way that he delivers it isn't like, why would you think that when, like, you know, I've done all these horrible things? Because he's still being, like, very bombastic, and...
A little bit, and he's also like, I just don't understand humans.
Right. It isn't like, wow, you were concerned about me, and I don't deserve it because I've been being an ass. It's just like, psh, you shouldn't give a shit about me, that's dumb. Like...
And at least he's performing it somehow, because the next line is performed the worst way, and also it's just a terribly clunky line, because he's like, I don't know why you do this, you know, why you care after I treated you the way that I have. Perry says, it's called compassion, doctor, the difference that remains between us.
No one speaks like this. The difference that remains between us. What?
The difference that remains between us. Is that I make this look good. It's a little Men in Black humor for you. I don't know. It's just bad. It's bad. I don't know if it's her or if it's...
No, but definitely...
That's just a bad line.
Definitely nobody speaks that way. I don't know how you would deliver that line in a way that made it sound natural, much less...
You changed the line.
Right. There's no delivery that saves that.
I mean, even the way she says it's called compassion, doctor, is delivered very oddly, too, so...
I mean, that's fair.
And, like, that's a fair enough line. It's called compassion, doctor. Look into it sometime.
She also says it, like, so tenderly, too, and you're like, that's not warranted.
Right. It should be, like, a slight fuck you.
Right.
So then they just talk to Lang and get him on their side, kind of. They convince him that, you know, we didn't kill your people... We're going to take you to the people that did kill your people. So they head to Jocanda. Drac, meanwhile, the good owl, or the loyal owl, sees a blip on the scanner, which is the TARDIS. This scene's not important, except for the fact that he's like, what's this little thing? And we hear just a fucking rad remix of the Doctor Who theme.
Oh, it's good! It's so good! Dare I say it? One of the best things about the serial?
And it's just a little piece of incidental music. But it also, like, clues you in, like, that's the TARDIS. It's good. This is, like, the second time I feel like we've had the Doctor Who theme as a piece of score, or a version of it. Because we also had it, I think, in Enlightenment, where you think the Doctor and Turlough are dead, and they're, like, floating out in space, and it's, like, a sad remix. Like, so that was a sad remix. This is, like, the, like...
Rad remix.
Rad remix. And then Asmael learns that Noma set off the self-destruct, and he's... not happy about it, because that was his friend.
I just want to say some things about this character. So he is supposed to be, like, it was originally conceived, like, as the hermit, right? From
yes.
The Doctor story.
Well, that was suggested by Ian Levine, who's like, you should have him be the hermit that the third Doctor mentioned multiple times. And then the writer was like, I don't know who that is. And just made him a teacher.
Right.
But so it's not the same character, technically.
Here's the thing. That makes so much sense. And it was such a smart suggestion because...
Weird because I've heard, like, Ian Levine just made tons of shitty suggestions.
Well, and I don't know if what I'm about to say was, like, the same thing that was in his mind. In my mind, it makes a lot of sense because you have this version of the Doctor who she's brand new and shitty. And so it makes sense to be like, this character should know the Doctor, should be somebody who's known the Doctor for a long time and is friends with them, who can then say, like...
You're not yourself.
You're not yourself. Something, what is up? And can also say to, like, the companion, like, this is a messed up situation, you don't deserve this, but...
It's temporary.
Not just that it's temporary, but, like, this is, like, sickness, or, like, something is wrong, and, like, we need to figure out what, because, like, this isn't how the Doctor is. Because, again, Perry doesn't know that, really.
They don't do that at all with this character.
Not even a little!
Like, there's very little reason for him to even know the Doctor.
It makes so much sense to...
All the fucking elements are there, and he doesn't know how to do it.
I've never wanted to, like, rewrite a Doctor Who story more.
I don't know. There's been some, like, Chibnall ones where I was like, please, let me just put a thing in here that makes sense.
just, like, a little bit of a theme, or a message.
The next scene is the doctor and just trying to figure stuff out. Again, not a thoroughly important scene, just some exposition. He assumes Asmiel must be out of his mind to not need his help. But I just want to point out how John Pertwee he is in this scene. Just lounging around. He's got kicked back in the chair. He's got his feet propped up. He does this shit a lot throughout this whole serial. He is very loungy.
Here's the thing. It's great. There are like parts in this where you see the Sixth Doctor and you're like, okay, I can get behind that. And him just like lounging in these bright yellow pants is like definitely one of them.
I like him. I do like him. I don't like this script. I like him though. I think he's doing the best with what he's got. But what he's got is not great. But there are scenes where he shines, you know? Like if they just wrote this whole thing as him being fun without all this unnecessary meanness, I'd be like, this is great.
And there can be teasing.
Yeah, there can be teasing, but there can't be just
abuse.
I don't know. It's just like arguments constantly.
Right.
And it's not interesting. It's not like based on like, anything real.
Oh, there's
real.
Conflict.
Yeah. It's just conflict for conflict, which is a problem we've had
if
on this
show recently.
If it's
unmotivated, it's not interesting. It's just noise.
And speaking of sort of pointless scenes, we have a pointless scene to establish two things. One, that Master is evil, which we already know. And two, what his powers are. An owl, a Jocondan. They're called Jocondans, I guess, but I'm going to keep calling them owls. There is an owl that is brought to Master. It's just this is a common owl. This isn't like one of the people that we've met before. He has stolen some vegetables for his family. Well, sentenced to death by embolism. And shoots out a green beam from his head, and the owl glows green and goes, and then falls over dead. Fucked up, but also kind of unnecessary. I mean, they just need a scene to establish that he's evil, but it's like so disconnected from literally everything. We don't know who this guy is. I mean, it's also, I guess, trying to say that like he's taken over these people.
This whole society.
This whole society, yeah.
It's not so much that they're like helping him. He's very much like ruling over them.
We will later find out that he took this over from Asmiel. Why was Asmiel the ruler of these people?
I don't have an answer for that question. Is that said? When is that said?
It's said that he was the ruler of Jocondo until Master took over. And like, because he's like, the only reason I'm doing all of this is to help my people.
I don't have an answer for that. Except that like, he's just like a renegade Time Lord sort of situation. And it's like, I live here. And they're like, man, you're smart as hell. You want to be in charge?
Like, right. That's kind of...
not great.
Why is that such a common narrative?
I mean, the answer is colonialism. I don't.
Oh, right. Yeah. Anyway, the TARDIS arrives on Jocondo. The Doctor is a great big old ham. They land, and he just, like, looks at Perry, points to the button that opens the door. She, like, pulls out the lever that opens the door. He crosses his arms, throws back his head, and walks out without looking. His eyes are closed. He gets outside. He flings his arms open, and he's like, ah, Jocondo, beautiful Jocondo. And it's like to set up a joke because whole place is fucked up, and they're like, beautiful, it looks like shit. And he opens his eyes and is like, what the hell? See, if none of this like grumpiness, assholishness was there, I'd been like, this is delightful.
Right.
And I still do think it's kind of delightful. But he's like, oh shit, this is bad. There was like a fucking forest here. What happened? And he sees these slug trails. And he's like, oh no, the gastropods of legend have returned to Jocondo.
Oh no, not the big ass slugs.
Then he's afraid to go. And he's like, we should leave. I'm like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. It's scary now. Returning to being a coward. Like, the Doctor flip-flopping around is fine, I guess. It doesn't make sense when Perry does it. Makes sense, at least a little bit of sense,
when
the Doctor does it.
Perry didn't just regenerate.
But anyway, the Doctor's like, I'm not going to go. So Lang's like, then I will go alone. Then the Doctor just has a whole midlife crisis moment where he's just like, things are awful and I'm confused and I don't even have good fashion sense anymore. But he finally agrees to help / go with Lang. And Lang's like, all right, cool, but I'm going to murder you if you flip out again, and points his gun at him and then like heads out. Well, I think they have another little, they still keep fighting. The scene keeps going on because there's a bit where the Doctor says, calls him Sergeant, and then Perry says Lieutenant, and then the Doctor and Lang both go Lieutenant, which is
a pretty solid joke.
Lieutenant and Lieutenant are the same thing, right? Except yeah. Lieutenant's the American pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if you guys know this, Perry's American.
I don't know if Perry knows it.
But they arrive underground. Perry's worried about getting lost. And the doctor's like, oh, we most assuredly will be. Asmael takes the twins, also gets there and takes the twins to a lab where we see some eggs. That'll be important later. There's like a whole room full of eggs. Then we also meet the Chamberlain, who's like Mastor's right-hand man, who they try to very quickly establish as a character. They don't fully do a good job of it, but he's like head owl asshole. He's like leading them to the labs, and then he's going to go tell Mester that they have arrived. Meanwhile, underground, the doctor reads some cave paintings that fill us in on some backstory. The Queen of Jacanda offended the sun god, who sent slugs to destroy things. Then the sun god felt that was enough punishment and sent a drought to kill the slugs. But something must have survived. Some egg must have gotten through. And they're like, so the slugs must be back. And lo and behold, there's a couple of slugs just sliding their way through the room. And they kind of duck and hide. And then the slugs slide past. And then Lane goes to check it out and walks into the trail of goop that they leave behind. And immediately gets quick-reeded into the slime trail. And the doctors are like, oh, right, you should have stepped in that, you dumb shit. And he can't get his feet out, so he starts shooting it with his gun. Because that's how he knows how to solve things. It's with a gun. Space cops. Mester talks to Asmael. He comes in physically and says, go ahead and tell the twins what we're doing. They'll probably be more likely to help us. Asmael's like, all right, cool. But there's a couple of things I'm going to need from you. One, stop reading my mind. It's like wearing me out. And no one here, you know, is my accomplice. Like, if like I try to betray you, someone else is going to know about it. And you can read their minds and it's fine. Just get out of my head. It's wearing me out.
It's making me sleepy.
And also, please get Noma to leave. That's the bad owl, because he's also just kind of fucking shit up.
Honestly, I just don't like looking at his face, and having to look at his face stresses me out.
Well, do anything you want, just those two things out of my head, get Noma to leave. So Mastor is like, okay, fine, and then turns around and two owls escort him out of the room because the actor clearly cannot see how to get up the steps. They, like, literally lift him up and carry him out. And then this is when we find out for sure that Drac is like, I am with you, Asmael, all the way. And then Asmael's like, you could die. And he's like, there are worse ways to die.
For being your friend.
That scene was kind of cute. I like that scene. So then Asmael tells the twins about Jacanda and how he used to be the leader. And the only thing that will help his people is to... He pulls out this map. And he's like, this is Jacanda. This is the sun. This is Jacanda. These... two lesser planets. We don't give a shit about those. But no, what he wants to do is he wants to bring those lesser planets. At the time, we were like, wow, he just thinks that, just like, we don't give a shit about those. But I guess there's just actually nothing on them.
Well, they're smaller. Lesser. Smaller.
They're going to bring them into orbit around Jacanda as storehouses. Like, they'll put shit on it. The doctor gets tired of waiting around for Lang to free himself, throws a huge hissy fit about it, and leaves. Like, fuck all you guys. I'm out.
Your notes say, the doctor is a dick again, and leaves.
I mean, that's what it is. And the doctor hears Asmael talking to the twins, and he's like, ah, fighting children, are you? Like, bursts into the room and points at Asmael and goes, villain! And jumps across the room, leaps over, like, a fucking, like, table, and chokes the shit out of Asmael.
So that's two for the day.
He's got one move. How many more people do you think the Sixth Doctor is going to choke out?
I don't know.
He pretty much immediately is like, oh, phew, sorry about that. Just a little,
He actually apologizes meaningfully to him.
Asmael sort of shrugs it off and is like, well, I'll tell you what's going on.
Yeah, he's not like, dude, that was fucked up. Are you okay?
No. Just like, it's understandable why you would think this is a bad situation. But let me explain. Lang finally gets free of the slime trail, only to immediately get knocked out by some owls who take Perry away. Meanwhile, Noma is reporting in to Mastor and bragging about killing the doctor and Perry in the self-destruct sequence. And he's like, yeah, I did that. That was me. And then Perry is brought in and he's like, I don't know who that is. And then Master's like, yeah, you're a dumb fuck. But then Mester gets weird. First off, Asmael got weird about Perry when he saw Perry, commented on how, like, lovely and beautiful she was. And Mester is doing the same thing. She had this done to her by Jack in the last serial. Why is everyone so weird and creepy about Perry?
I don't know. I don't know why we suddenly went, like, let's make her the most uncomfortable constantly. Let's just have her suffer harassment after harassment.
That's unfortunate. I mean, I honestly don't care for the companion. I don't care for her. I don't care for her acting. Mm-mm. But I also don't care for the way she's treated.
Right.
So it's all around just bad. Meanwhile, the doctor tells Asmiel that his plan could destroy the universe. Don't do it. Could be bad. Could, like, create a black hole in the universe and screw shit up. Then Lang stumbles in and says that Perry has been caught. He passes out, and the doctor's like, I have to save Perry! And Asmiel's like, if it's necessary, she must die. And then the doctor turns to the camera and goes, no! Perry!
An equally terrible face. Also, the most he's been concerned with her this whole time.
See, I would like that. If things were better. Like, I feel like this is supposed to be him realizing, like,
that he's been a dick.
That he's been a dick, and he wants to help Perry, and he likes Perry. Never.
None of that's in here.
No. There's, like, moments that could work if you transitioned between them. If you did the work instead of just, like, this is the part where the doctor is, like, fine with Perry now. And, like, or realizes, like, there's no, like, real realization of what he's done.
Right.
Not a true realization. There's been some offhanded comments about it. Like, that. Okay, so when he actually did apologize, by the way, was when he's like, take her, not me. She's the one who leads me in all this trouble while they're being taken to Asmiel. Once they get in there, he's like, oh, I legitimately apologize. I'm sorry. That was one of my fits. So he does apologize there, but he, like, carries on talking about the next thing. Like, he's like, we know what's going on. Just forget about it.
Right. So,
anyway, we finished episode 3. We're now into episode 4, the last one, which I've called Bad Eggs.
That's okay.
I just named our bonus episode a good egg.
Oh, I'm exhausted. Let's finish this.
All right. Let's do it. The doctor mentions that he is full of guilt and rage.
Supposedly.
We've seen the rage. Not much of the guilt.
Could stand to be more guilt.
There could be. The doctor is brought to Mester. He's like, don't worry about me. I can actually help you because I'm very smart. And I will stop you from destroying the universe. I will actually do the thing you're trying to do to figure out. Like, the twins can do all the math. I have experience, though. So just hire me. The doctor treats this like a job interview. But he's also keeping his mind a secret. And the master's like, if you're going to help me, why are you keeping your mind a secret from me, huh? And he's like, because
dreams are private.
Yeah, because dreams are private. No, it's like, if you can read my mind and you know what I can do, then I'm out of a job. This is just job security. You'd have no reason to keep me around if you could read my mind. So, all right, fine. The Chamberlain, though, remember the Chamberlain? I barely do. He's like, we shouldn't trust the doctor. And then Mester's like, hey, don't talk without being,
don't,
you know,
fucking question me.
And then embolisms him a little bit. Doesn't kill him. Just
a little one.
He just goes, grrr! They make bird noises when they're hurt.
Because they're birds.
Meanwhile, Asmiel finally removes the lifesavers from the twins. And they're like, oh, boy, we were dicks, huh?
We were real assholes. I mean, they don't actually say that. They just say, oh, we remember everything.
Yeah.
Cool.
They may say something about missing their mother or something. I don't remember.
Again, this is weird because it's like, oh, all of our memories are missing. And then it's like, oh, we have them back. None of that matters.
None of it. There was no reason to remove their memory.
It's not important and it affects nothing. But it's happened and now it's gone. Okay, let's move on to the next thing.
So everyone gets the owls to leave them alone to work. They do this by... There's just a whole scene where they just shit on Noma. That's pretty funny, I guess. I don't know. Everybody's together now, though. Perry's there and everybody's in this lab. Meanwhile, Mester tells the Chamberlain to find the TARDIS, which he does. They open the TARDIS and they go inside of it. Then we learn the full plan of how this planet orbiting situation is going to work. The planets will be in different times? That's why they needed a time launder?
I don't understand anything about this plan at all. Maybe you can explain it to me.
Well, I don't remember what the reason was why they need to be, like, slightly out of sync with themselves time-wise.
Because I think it was that they weren't going to actually be orbiting each other. They were actually going to all be in the same...
same orbit, just in different times?
Yeah. So they're, like, all actually in the same place? But...
I don't know. It doesn't make
That's
sense.
That's just what it is if you're standing in a line behind someone. Right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're walking in a line behind someone, you're in the same place as them, but just 10 seconds later.
And also, like... Right? I don't know. Hey, if you can explain the science behind this bullshit,
help
please
me
do.
Out.
The thing is, while watching it, I was like, that's pretty neat. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I don't know what the hell that means, though. I'm just like, cool, they're in a different time zone. That sounds
too
cool.
They use this word time zone, and it's not the first time they've used it in Doctor Who. They use time zone to basically mean, like, different dimension.
Yeah.
And it's like, what does that mean? It's like, it's in a time zone 10 seconds, like, 10 seconds behind. So it's basically in a little pocket universe. And it's like, what? What does that mean?
I don't know.
What do you think a time zone is?
But the Doctor does bring up a legitimate issue with this, which is like, these planets are smaller. If you pull them closer to the sun, they will crash into the sun. The reason they were only in orbit the distance they were is because of the distance they were. Like, if you move a smaller thing closer, it's going to be attracted to the sun.
That's how gravity works.
Asmael's like, oh shit, why did I not think of that? I came up with this whole convoluted thing about putting them in fucking time zones, but I can't think about goddamn gravity. We'll figure out what to do about that later. We got to gather more information. The twins also finish their calculations, so they can get the planets in orbit and all that shit. But, like, again, it's not going to work, but... Anyway, the Doctor, like, wanders around. He's also, again, been, like, laying on everything this whole time, too. Just laying on that desk very casually, his leg all propped up. I love it. I love it. But he finds the room with all the eggs, and he's like, can I see these eggs? Can I go in? Can I go in and see the eggs?
Can I touch the eggs?
And I'm like, sure, you weirdo. So he, like, goes in, and he's, like, shaking it, and he's like, I gotta get into these eggs! Can I get into these eggs? And, he's not that frantic, but he's like, give me a laser cutter. I'm gonna make me an omelet. And then he, like, tries to cut open the egg with the laser cutter, but it doesn't work. It just heats it up. And he's like, should have cut through at least a little. It didn't do shit, but it, like, glows. And he's like, well, it's definitely woken something up in there. The heat of it has. And he's like, huh, how many more eggs are there? And, like, they pull aside this curtain, and it's just like...
There's a whole-ass matte painting in there.
It's a matte painting of eggs. A whole... flat of matte eggs. Eggs come in flats, right?
Is that a thing?
Like when you get the big ones, like the big rectangular ones, that's a flat of eggs. So this is a mat of eggs.
Okay.
Anyway. So, if the planets crash into the sun with all these eggs on them, it's going to explode out into the universe, kickstarting these eggs, like heating them up. They're going to come alive. But it'll spread them throughout the universe and...
it'll fuck everybody's shit up.
It's an invasion! An eggvasion.
Here's... basically, this Time Lord... what's his name?
Asmael.
He's doing this and he's like, we're doing this bad... like, I'm kidnapping children, but it's for a good reason. And we're like, we definitely need to be doing this. And yes, I'm working for this slug who's threatening to kill the children. But it's for the right reasons. And then you get to this one and it's like, one, I did not consider the fact that, like, this would blow up everything. And two, I didn't realize that there were, like, all of these eggs, which aren't, like, hidden. I know about them and they're, like, basically in my study. And I did not consider that they were, like, for something. This guy's not paying attention at all.
No. And he's supposed to be a teacher.
I mean, I guess it is kind of implied that, like, he's... you know, the slug guy's been, like, in his brain.
So he could be, like, purposely, like, keeping him away from those thoughts. But let's just say that. But really, this is a shit
writer. Really, no one thought about that at all while writing this.
And so the twins have finished their calculations, but the Doctor's like, can you remember them in your head? And they're like, sure. And I don't know why. I don't know why. They never use it. They wouldn't use it.
I don't know.
And then he's like, well, destroy your notes. So they do. They destroy all the work that they've done. I don't know why it's important that they still have it. It never comes back up again. And they're like, well, now we got to figure out a plan about what to do. Hey, Drac, can we, like, they turn to, like, the good, the loyal owl, who's just been leaning against the wall this entire scene, and they tap him, and he just falls to the floor.
Ooh, this is one of the very few things in the serial that's, like, super effective.
It would help if, like, Asmiel was a little bit more upset about it. But he's mostly like, oh, no, Master was using him as a monitor. He was keeping tabs on us. He knows everything.
Yeah, but he's not sad at all about his friend who is dead.
I mean, that sucks. Because they've been talking a lot of stuff here. But yeah, it would have been nice to have a little bit of an emotional moment there. But I ain't got time for that. We're wrapping things up.
We're in episode 4. Let's go.
The Doctor and Asmiel will face Master while Perry, Lang, and the twins go to the TARDIS to get out of there. We didn't mention this earlier, but while the Doctor was lounging on the desk, he found a couple of bottles of piss.
No. They're not piss. They do look an awful lot like urine, but that's not what they are.
Just a couple of bottles of Time Lord piss.
It is acid.
We don't know what Time Lord piss properties are.
I don't have this conversation. Oh, that is just going to be in a Doctor Who script in the future. Where it's like, new Time Lord lore just dropped. They got acid piss.
I mean, more shows should be like Farscape. Doesn't Rigel have acid piss in an episode?
I mean, I know he has helium farts, and let's not even pretend like that's not the worst part of the show.
He has acid piss in an episode.
Does he?
Yes, I distinctly remember him pissing, like, on guards or something, like, and his stuff exploding. I don't think it was, like, a permanent feature of Rigel, but it was, like, in an episode.
We cannot spend any more time on this.
Yes, we can. We gotta do the Farscape podcast at some point. Anyway, so the Doctor takes these piss acid bottles and hides them behind his back. Well, we see one of them he's got behind his back. We later learn he has two of them because he's sneaky. Double sneaky. So they go in there and the Doctor's got it behind his back and he's like, Master, your day is up and blah, blah, blah. And he's very cocky. Do you give up? And he's like, no. And he's like, then take the consequences. And throws the bottle.
It smashes right into a force field.
Yeah. Which has a decent effect. Huh. It looks like they had like some plexiglass up in front of it or something. And then they, you know, added in some like blue sparkles in post. And the Doctor's like, oh shit, I'm a bad shot. The people going into the TARDIS run into some owls because they've actually been camped out at the TARDIS. And the twins do, you know, a heroic thing where they jump in front of everybody and they're like, oh, that's why they have the knowledge. Because they're like, they won't shoot us because we're the only ones who know the thing. Okay, cool. And so they protect them like that. And then it doesn't really matter that much, though, because Lang's like, hey, twins, duck. And then they duck and he just shoots a bunch of owls. They shoot him back, but like it looks like he got hit, but he's faking. And then another owl comes up and then he shoots the owl. You know, it's just a shootout. It's fine. Meanwhile, the Doctor is being even more cocky, very cocky. Just like, there's nothing you can do to me. I'm the best. You can't even do your brain shit on me because I'm too awesome. If you tried to jump in here, it'd be like a pebble in a fucking lake.
Here is another thing that I could fix with a rewrite. Go ahead and say what happens, and then I will tell you what's supposed to fucking happen.
Master's like, do you want me to take over your mind or whatever? And the Doctor's like, yeah. And then he takes over Asmiel's mind, and Asmiel starts talking with Master's voice, badly lip-syncing to it. It took me a second to go, oh, he's pretending to say the same dialogue. And then the Doctor's like, oh shit, no, wait, why did you do it to Asmiel? No, you're supposed to do it to me. And he's like, I'll kill this guy. And the Doctor's like, talking to Asmiel, like, let's do a mind leak. We can beat him together. And he's like, no, Doctor, just, you have another one of those piss bottles? And he's like, I sure do. And he throws the second piss bottle. The force field's gone. Or like, he can't put up the force field because he's busy. Because
he's linked.
And so Master starts melting, being very gooey, which, you know, that's what we do now. He's like, but Master's like, it's fine. I've taken over Asmiel, so it doesn't matter. I will escape to this guy. And Asmiel's like, I will end him. I'm going to regenerate. And he's like, well, you don't have any more regenerations left, which was something that was said earlier. And he's like, I know. Basically, he's sacrificing himself to kill
right
Master. Have I said enough?
Okay.
Can I jump in yet? Or
yeah. No, here's what, like, clearly needs to happen. The doctor is, like, clearly goading him into connecting with him, right? Even the other Time Lord is like, you would have been overwhelmed. Like, you're in this, like, weakened state. It makes so much sense for the doctor to be, like, goading him into, like, connecting into his mind because his mind is so, like, fractured right now.
Yes.
And so it seems like he's being really cocky and obnoxious, but, like, actually he's trying to, like, sacrifice himself. Like, get this guy into his brain, which is broken. And so it, like, messes him up. Why is that not what this scene is?
That's a good question.
It seems like that's what it's going to be. And then when that didn't happen, I got mad.
I will say that what the scene that does happen is not bad, though.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine. I mean, you can even still have the hermit, like, sacrifice himself.
He's not the hermit.
Well, okay.
Do not saddle this lame duck with the hermit title.
Okay. But you know what I mean? Like, you can even still ultimately get to the same place. But, like, having this be the moment where, like, the doctor is, like, using this
regeneration sickness thing.
Yeah. This, first of all, this assholishness that he's, you know, he's been, where it's actually, like, this moment of, like, oh, shit, there he is. There's the doctor. You know, like, it gives way to the character that, you know, and we, like, finally see him as the doctor for the first time. And also, yes, he is using this thing that's been set up to defeat the bad guy. Let's do that!
Yeah, instead of the thing they used that they set up to defeat the bad guy was piss bottles.
Not as good. Not as good as my version.
No.
I want to rewrite this script so bad.
But in your version, would he still melt?
Sure.
I like your version a lot better. It's good. But in this version, he just, he melts. He gives one last little blah, blah, and spits up some shit, gray matter. And we cut to back outside the TARDIS where Noma, the bad owl, just starts going, because the mind link, you know, I guess he was mind linked with Master. But he's like in mid scream and Lang just punches him right in the gut. He's like, and then just stops. I thought that was legitimately hilarious. Like, from this point on, Lang actually feels like a character in a way he has not the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
He almost has, like, vibes of the American from City of Death, where he's just, like, punching things and pointing gun at people. And, like, and from this point on, it's kind of funny, but it's never... Before this, he was just kind of there. And, like, Lang gets all the owls out of the TARDIS, and then the Chamberlain's like, okay, but I... And he just points the gun at him, like, don't even bother, and just, like, gestures for him to leave the TARDIS, and the Chamberlain's like, oh, okay. Like, becomes, like, this weird comedy duo in the last 5 minutes of this episode, Lang and the Chamberlain. When, I don't even know if Lang and the Chamberlain had a scene before this. So anyway, Asmael is dying in the doctor's arms. He's already spit up the ghost of Master, like a little black thing flew out of his mouth. And he gives the doctor his ring, which I guess is like the ruler's ring? I don't know.
Oh, that makes sense.
And he says, one of the best times of his life was that time outside the fountain.
The time that him and the doctor just got
rip-roaring drunk.
Super fucking wasted.
And then he dies and the doctor is very sad. And I thought that was fine. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Could have been earned better, but as it is, that scene was decent. It was good. I was legitimately like, oh, that kind of sucks. So Perry goes to look for the doctor. She's wandering around, lost in the caves, looking for the doctor. And the doctor grabs her from behind, throws his hand around her mouth, and pulls her back.
For what reason?
And he's like, shh, it's me. And he, like, lets his hands go, and he's like, I'm sorry about that. And then she's like, oh, doctor. And he's like, what the fuck? That's, like, I think it's supposed to be played as, like, this humorous moment where there's, like, we're making light of what happened earlier.
I want to know what the fuck the author of this serial thinks the tone of it is. What were you trying to do? Because I don't know.
Like, they literally give, like, a look at each other, like, oh, you.
And this isn't even the worst.
Like, ain't I a stinker?
This isn't even, like, the worst part yet.
No.
That's the very end.
But this is a moment where the doctor is in, supposedly, like, fully cognizant. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he grabs her. Why did he think that would be a good idea? Anyway, and let's get through this wrap up here. The Chamberlain wants to go to the TARDIS.
This is another like comedy bit, by the way.
And the Doctor's like, "Oh, you, the Chamberlain. I don't like you." And I thought that was funny. And he's like, "What?"
Because he wants to get off the planet. Because you know everyone hates him.
Because he's a traitor and was working for Mester and was like ratting out other Jacondans. He's like, "Please let me on your ship." And he's like, "No, fuck you.
Good luck. Bye."
And then they're like, "Well, let's take everybody else back where they need to go." And Lang's like, "Actually, I think I want to stay here. I feel like I can do some good here." And the Doctor's like, "Yeah, sure, whatever." I think there's like a bit where like Perry's like, "What about, you know, the people here and all that stuff? Who's going to like lead and or whatever?" And he's like, "Well, it's not Mester. Mester's dead. Also, can't be Asmiel. Asmiel's also dead." And then it's like, she's like, "Well, who's going to take care of him?" And then like you hear like gunfire and he's like, "It sounds like they're cleaning up the mess themselves. It's fine." But then like when Lang's like, "I want to stay," he gives Lang the ring. So presumably Lang's going to be the leader. Because it can't be one of the Jacondans, I guess.
Right.
And there's like a bit where like the Chamberlain's like, "If you leave me here, they'll kill me." And Lang's like, "No, they won't. Come on." And then they leave to go off into their weird buddy comedy. When I think he also says like, there's nothing back on Earth for me or whatever. And the Doctor says something like, "Or the Earth people wouldn't need me for anything." And he's like, "That's for sure." And then leaves. And Perry's like, "I don't know why he's so rude." Everybody's left. Everybody gets back onto the TARDIS, including the twins. The twins are like, "Can we stay too?" And Perry goes, "No."
Which is one of the funniest parts in the whole thing. Like, the way she says it is so dismissive.
"Don't be ridiculous. Get on the TARDIS. We're taking you home."
It's like the only time in this whole serial that Perry says anything with any authority. "Can we stay?" "Oh, fuck no. Let's go."
You are children. So they all get on the TARDIS. Perry's like, "I don't know why you had to be so rude to Hugo. I just remembered his first name."
Congrats.
And he's like, "Rude? What? I wasn't rude." And then she's like, "Yeah, you were." That's when he says, like, "I'm an alien, so I'm not going to abide by the same sort of moral customs that you do and whatnot." You said you liked that.
I like it as a concept. Here in this serial, I have problems with it.
And again, he sort of brings up the Fifth Doctor, because she's like, "You used to be, you know.
You used to have manners."
And then he's like, "I was a weakling. It was actually negative for me. Like, it wasn't actually a good trait of mine."
I think he kind of said, like, "It stressed me out. Like, I was thinking so much about being nice that I was stressed out all the time," which, relatable.
And then she's like, "Well, I think you should learn to do it anyway." And then he's like, "No." He's like, but he's also like, I think you will find, if you give me some time, that I'm not as bad as you think I am. And no matter what happens, I am the Doctor, whether you like it or not."
Okay, it's not that that's a bad line. It's that he says that angrily, and then smiles, and then it cuts to Perry, and she smiles, and it's on her face for too long, and then it cuts back to his face, and it's on his face for too long, and like,
he's just smiling like a doofus.
He doesn't give the line, "Nothing earns this." Like, it's the way he says weird. It is like, "I'm the Doctor, whether you fucking like it or not." And then Perry's like, "Okay." And it's like, what? Like,
you're like, "Why is she smiling?"
I don't understand. It wasn't... Everybody reacts like he told a joke, but he delivers it like he's angry. And it's bizarre. And it doesn't make any sense. And I just want to know what the fucking tone was supposed to be. I don't understand. I don't understand what was trying to be accomplished here. Again,
they didn't do it. Whatever they were trying to accomplish, they didn't. All right, let's save your full rant.
Okay.
Let's take a quick breather. Going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for final thoughts.
Hey, everyone. This is George Tripsis, co-host from the Metal Geeks podcast, along with Carrie the Metal Geek and Brutal Dave. Our show is where we bring the metal geek culture and heavy metal culture and mash it into the geek culture. Come listen to our show where we talk about movies, comic books, Disney stuff, and mostly about movies where I'm always right and Carrie's never right. Check us out at MetalGeeks.net. You can catch us on all your ear hole listening podcast devices.
I'm Carrie the Metal Geek, and I approve this message.
And we're back. Tony, do you know what time it is? I think you're so angry you're not even going to do your bit.
It's time for final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
All right, Tony, what are your final thoughts?
Okay.
Is that it? That's just your final thought.
I mean, here's the thing. I got into a lot of it in the episode, so I just want to reiterate. I'm having trouble forming sentences and saying words. I've never seen a serial that I want to, like, rewrite so bad. And part of the reason why isn't because it's so bad, but because it's like, look, all the pieces are there already. They're there and you just didn't connect to them right. Why? They're already in it. I don't understand. I really like a lot of the ideas in it. Even the ideas, like, people probably watch this and they're like, these things aren't good. It's not good that the doctor is an ass. Or there's something to some of those ideas of, like, he's an alien. He does not have the same concepts of, like, what is polite and all this stuff. And for a lot of the times, he is really working to, like, be human or, like, respond in a way that is comfortable for his human companions. Interesting idea. I'd like to see it explored in a way that doesn't fucking suck. Exploring some of the doctor's, like, more darker aspects and character flaws. Interesting idea. This is not how you do it. Having the doctor have regeneration sickness and that being scary and dangerous. Interesting idea. This is not how you fucking do it. There's a lot of really good design in this one. I even like, again, the twins, like their opening. I don't understand why anything was established about them at all because we didn't bother to do anything with it. And that happens a lot. Like, I don't understand. We establish a bunch of stuff like, oh, isn't that neat? Fucking forget about it. Because it's never coming up again. Why? Why did we do any of this? I don't understand. And it's weirdly aggressive, not just in like, and weirdly combative, not just with like the characters, but like directly to the audience. This is the doctor. He's mean and he's hateful and he's the doctor whether you like it or not. So shut the fuck up. Why?
And there's a lot of people that feel like this is what killed Doctor Who. This was the moment. This serial. And like, maybe it did.
You could even sell me on the idea of being kind of combative to the audience, especially in like challenging what the show is and what it can be, because people get very, very bogged down or very, very attached to one idea of the show. And I think every now and again, you have to go, let go of that. You know, it can be other things if you let it. And also, like, you get a new showrunner and it's like, this is what it is. Good luck. Like, you know, you can't get so attached to specific things. I think that's interesting. I mean, it's an interesting thing that the show is able to do and it's important that we do it.
But you also have to be good.
This is the thing that, like, I can't figure out is, like, why? Why these specific choices? Because it seems just like sometimes you're just picking a fight just to pick a fight.
Right.
Like, we're going to play with this idea, or we're going to challenge your concept of this character or whatever. It's just like, fuck you because fuck you, I guess.
Yeah, it's weirdly like antagonistic and I don't know why.
Those are my final thoughts. I can't anymore. I'm done.
You've pretty much hit the nail on the head for all of the why this does not work, why it is bad. I want to at least take a slightly... I agree with everything you said. I think this is bad. I don't think this was good. I do want to focus on some things that I did enjoy.
That's fair. Because this is what I'm saying. I wouldn't be so mad if there weren't good things in it. If it was just bad, I'd be like, wow, that sucks.
Yeah, like I said, I don't even think this is the worst Doctor Who serial I've seen. There's definitely ones that I think are far worse. I think actually being boring is far worse than being at least trying something.
Right.
I feel like this at least try something. It fails epically. But it's not like fucking Power of Krull, which I...
The worst sin is being boring.
But like, there's a lot to like about this, especially if you can separate it from the shit. Like, I think Colin Baker is fun. Like, he's going all out and he's doing a big performance. And then I think that's fun. And I don't think it works in the scenes where he's being abusive and bad. But, like, I don't necessarily put that on him as much as the script.
Well, yeah, because if he was being this, like, big personality, like, pompous ass, and Perry was like, okay, doctor, chill out, like, you know?
Or even being a little bit like, who is this?
Yeah.
But not like, if she was like a little bit like, I don't know if this is the doctor. Like, that's definitely a thing that's happened before, like, with, I mean, specifically with Ben and Polly. They're like, I don't know if this is the doctor. And they're like, I don't trust this guy. Like, that's fine. But to have her be terrified of him,
and again,
is a bad choice.
Justifiably. Like, you, it's not like, oh, she's scared because he's changed and she needs to know that it's just him. It's like, no. Like,
she's
some real
terrified
fucked up shit happened.
Choked the shit out of her. He tried to murder her.
But what I'm saying specifically about her being like, oh, the dynamic would be fine. The same lines, he could be like, I'm so great. And Perry could be like, okay. And like, cut him down. Like you said, very 10 Donna. If that's the dynamic, all of his performance works really well.
It doesn't help that, like, a large part of this is Perry saying, you need to be nicer. You need to have compassion. This is not like you. You should be nice. When she is frequently rude?
Right.
Like, past the choking scene, there's no reason for her to give a shit about the doctor. But, like, before that scene, she is incredibly rude. She just tells him she's that he's ugly. She hates his clothes.
And again, not in a fun way.
No. And it's
in
like
a really awkward, uncomfortable way.
It's just so slapshoddily written. But I, like I said, I want to focus on the good stuff.
Sorry, go ahead.
Ah, fuck. But yeah, I just like, I want to move past this serial and kind of put it out of my mind continuing forward, because I don't want this to taint what I feel like could be a good doctor. I feel like there's still going to be some wobbliness. I don't think it's going to be ever quite as bad as the doctor choking a companion.
God help me, God, not. It can't get worse from here.
I'm just going to try to look past this episode and from here on out sort of like start fresh. Because I, like I said, the bits that are there that are, I think are good and fun. And I want to like this doctor, and I do like aspects of this doctor. I even like the sort of like, you know, sassiness of him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, him being a little snappy. It's fine. Like, I like the first Doctor, and he's definitely that. I think he's great. I think there's some good design in this one, but everything else is a mess. But I like Colin Baker a lot. I think he's fun. And I have kind of missed that more bombastic Doctor.
Yeah.
I liked Peter Davison, but he was very low-key. But that's it. That's my final thoughts. We did it. We talked about this one.
I'm exhausted now.
But before we go, is there anything we need to plug?
Keep watching Unseen World, please. Find it at watchheartlandtv.com. There are new episodes airing. They won't be on the website for a while. They're not going to be on demand yet. But it is airing in syndication on a lot of stations. And so it might be airing on your local station. Check it out. See if you can find it. It's See Unseen World. Season 2 will be available on demand shortly.
Check your local listings.
Yeah.
But if you liked this episode of the podcast, you can check out more on WatchYourAssalon.com. If you'd like to help us out, you can also leave a review on iTunes. Please do that. You can also become a Patreon patron at patreon.com/watchathon. Special thanks again to Nicole Mazza for becoming a new Patreon patron.
Hey, thanks, Nicole.
Check out Nicole's podcast, Terminus, a Doctor Who podcast, at terminus.libsyn.com. You can also sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing a DVD or Blu-ray for us from our Amazon wish list, which you can find at watchyourassalon.com/support. We'll mention you on the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassalon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can check him out at matthewgolden.net. I also want to give a special shout out to Vince and EL for providing us with our amazing theme song.
Thank you, Vince.
Check out more of their music at soundcloud.com/VinceandEL or vinceandel.bandcamp.com. And tune in next time when we start a new season of Doctor Who. We talk about Attack of the Cybermen, which is also going to be a new format where this whole next season is 45-minute episodes instead of half hour. And most of them are two-parters. There's one three-parter, though. But until then, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
Whatever else happens, I am the Doctor. Whether you like it or not.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.